7 p.m. on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
good? Serena again?
Yes.
I had asked also in that email last night, and I know this is an administrative thing, but since I have everyone here, if it's possible to get both a toll-free number as well as a toll number, we can actually save the foundation some money. There are people who have long distance included in their flat rate home service. There's no reason why the foundation should be paying for the use of an 800 number, which I think is usually billed at 10 cents per minute or whatever the case is for each of us. If, in fact, someone is using a cell phone, they're going to be paying for the airtime anyway. We can call into a toll number. I know there are ways to do that.
Yeah,
the problem with cell phones is quality.
The coordinating committee has been grappling with this issue. Why in the world is it as complex as it appears to be? I have no idea. But we're awaiting our CFO's investigation. He is looking into the possibility but hasn't come up with it yet.
This is Teresa. I have to go now. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.
So we're confirmed then for 6 Pacifica and, no, 5 Pacifica and 8 Eastern?
Friday the 14th.
Yes.
Friday the 14th.
I do have a bit of a conflict. I can see if I can work around that.
Who's that?
Who is speaking, please?
Is Mike talking briefly?
Right. I can hardly hear you, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, here we go. You do have a conflict?
Yeah, I have a conflict, but I could probably reschedule.
Would later or earlier be any better?
Let's see. I think if the meeting isn't going to run too long, earlier would be better, because I think I have an appointment at 5:45.
But Sandra already said she couldn't do it before 7 her time.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with joining in late if you all don't have a problem with my attending late.
How late is late?
Well, it would be 7 o'clock Central Time.
Uh-huh.
Which case the meeting might well be over.
I doubt it.
Well, you know, always with a meeting of a group, there's always somebody
there's
who
always
can't
somebody,
attend.
Yeah. If these are the only problems we have, we're doing well.
If I'm the only person that can't attend, I could certainly receive emails to update. And
that would be good, and we'll try to get it streamed again.
Well, what's your problem? Is it you have to reschedule something, or when would it work for you?
Yeah, I have an appointment scheduled at 5, I believe it's, actually I haven't received an email confirmation, but I'm pretty sure it's 5:45 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How long might it last?
Excuse me?
How long might it last?
Oh, it'll last for it'll be more than an hour before I get back. So so it would need, either I need to reschedule that or it needs to be earlier rather than later. And I'd have to leave a little, you know, 25 or half an hour in advance before to get to the meeting. So if we started at 4, that would be better for me. Obviously, it's worse for someone else. So.
Well, I don't want to choose between the two of you. I mean, basically, it's either one or the other of you can't do it. So,
can you let us know if you can reschedule either of you? Is that possible? Or
I can try to. Yeah, I can try to reschedule. Yeah.
Okay, Michael. Thank you.
I'd like to stick with 5.
Yes, I'd like to leave it at that. And if we have too many people who can't make it, we'll reconsider. But let's leave it at 5 Pacific time. And go on from there. And Carol, you'll send me the information about setting it up. I just wanted to go over a couple of areas that maybe I'm listing, and perhaps they don't belong on this list, but issues that have come up that I'm a little bit concerned about that I think needs a national policy or maybe some change or at least a charge to a national supervisor. One issue is people changing categories between staff and listener. Staff people leaving a program to run, when do they become a listener? Listeners suddenly getting on programs or doing producing or becoming part of collectives, and that makes them staff, and yet they're already either on the board as listeners or they're going to run as a listener.
That was a concern in Houston, too. There were several people that received staff ballots who were just listener members.
Yeah,
and it was the only ballot that they received, so they were instructed to go ahead and use it to vote because the deadline was, there wasn't a chance of them getting another one.
That may be something we need to... I don't think that's an election supervisor's job, but we need to, when we clarify some policies around that for Pacifica, make some recommendations there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know that the bylaws say that waivers are local station board problem or issue, but maybe we should think about some national criteria or oversight other than what is in the bylaws, which are really skimpy.
This is Michael from Berkeley. I don't think that that's within the purview of this committee because we're reviewing the previous election in which there were no waivers, so we're really not... It doesn't really arise. And also, if you look in the bylaws, waivers is one of the few things that is exclusively a local station board concern. The national board is not involved in waivers, and we're a committee of the national board.
Well, aren't we supposed to make recommendations, though, for the next election? And couldn't that be included in part of our recommendations as to how waivers are dealt with?
Well, I think this is Ray Whitfield from PFW. I think the recommendations we make around waivers have to be to our local LSB. Because it is local, and I, at least PFW kind of likes, well, not, don't let me speak to PFW, but I think that it's okay here for us to work on dealing. I think each one of our stations have completely different demographics, needs, and so forth, and I'm not sure what a national policy would look like.
This is Carol Spooner, and I tend to agree with Ray and Michael, the bylaws do specifically delegate that to the local boards, and I don't think the national board should mess with it, including us.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, this is the first year we'll be, the local boards are elected and can grant waivers, and if there's a problem that arises, then some committee next year can look at it.
This is Sandra in Houston, and I agree.
Okay.
And our Committee of Inclusion is taking on that responsibility.
Who's this, Ray?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Okay, that makes good sense. Thank you. That clarifies that. I'm happy enough with that. Any other issues that people want to...
Yeah, well, in speaking... This is Ray Whitfield again.
Mm-hmm.
In speaking with our station manager today, the one thing, a number of things that he pointed out was that we needed an election supervisor that was 20 to 30 hours, and I guess that would have to be handled by the national board, the length of time that a person is going to be paid for.
20 to 30 hours a week?
A week.
For how many weeks?
Well, from whenever they come on board, and I'm not sure exactly when that would happen. I guess that would be the same thing all the way across the board and all of the stations. The other thing is if the whole process could be started a bit earlier, and primarily so for all of those people who did not receive ballots or whatever had an opportunity to get another ballot, because in our area there were some people that never got a ballot and just did not vote.
Yeah.
And the issue of write-in voting. I think those are the two things that we might want to look at on a national level.
Well, the issue of write-in votes, this is Sandra from Houston, that's a logistical nightmare. First off, you'd have to ascertain some way the person that's being written in is actually, one, qualified, and two, willing.
Right. Well, I think we may have had a few write-in votes here, and it came out of the fact that the person never received a ballot, was a ballot member and the whole thing, and they were given, well, it was kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
But write-in ballots probably would not be necessary in the event that we were able to get ballots in time and send out more ballots to people who didn't get them.
Yeah, those were the major, major problems with the last election, and they were national.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare, first of all, that people didn't get the ballots that were mailed to them, and then when they didn't get them, they didn't have a way to replace them if they'd previously been mailed. So we have to come up with a recommendation that will solve that problem.
Well,
and
part of that
is
the mailing.
The many reasons, wrong address, getting lost in the mail or anything else.
Right.
Oh, this is Carolyn. One of the suggestions I saw, which I thought was made terribly good sense, was to clean the list, and that will have to be done within a few weeks. And one way to do that is to put out a first-class mailing with a survey. We could have done it with Pacifica's fundraising letter that just went out that we all got, but nobody thought to do that, asking people with a self-addressed stamped envelope to, did you get a ballot? Is your name spelled right? Are you paid up? Would you like to pay up for next year? And by the way, donate a little more, so I think that kind of mailing will end up paying for itself. But do it, just clean the list that way with a first-class mailing and a self-addressed stamped envelope just to make sure we know what we have. We could use the survey to do a little demographic survey if we wanted to, because we don't have that kind of data.
I think that's a great idea.
I do, too.
Sandra in Houston. One suggestion that we knocked around in the Houston during the last election in verifying, getting our list cleaned up, I know that several people on the committee spent numerous hours going over our membership rolls and trying to clean them up and figure out who was really a member and what not.
Mm.
We had thought about setting up, you know, doing PSAs over the air and telling people to please call in to verify their membership and their mailing address and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
We ran out of time, so we weren't able to put that into practice, but that would require somebody manning a specific phone and being able to, you know, take those kind of calls. But that was one way of doing it over the telephone or even over the Internet that would not cost, we wouldn't use the cost of mailing.
Well, this is Carol. The ballots will be mailed in October this year. So we actually have maybe 2 or 3 months to get the list cleared up. And I think that was in Caleb Kleppner's report.
Yes.
His recommendation is that we have to make some serious efforts to clean up our list. Apparently at all stations there were major problems with the list. At KPFA there certainly were.
I think so. I think doing it nationally would help somewhat. I'm interested, though, is that Teresa from Houston?
Sandra,
you had several people doing the list manually?
Well, they were going in and checking the membership rolls and seeing which ones were duplicates and which ones were listed as members that, you know, really weren't members.
How could you tell that?
Pardon?
How could you tell that?
They were calling people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, they did a lot of hard work, and they got it cleaned up pretty good, but there were still problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's part of the system, part of the problem is the actual system that we keep the membership list in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it's terrible.
It's very antiquated and needs to be updated, but that's just another cost issue.
Yeah, that's an expense item.
Ray Whitfield from TSW. If a mailing is going to be used to help clean up the list, would this be done nationally or locally?
That's a good question.
Well, you know, it would depend on what we wanted to recommend. If we followed Carolyn's idea of doing some kind of survey or questionnaire, or those might be better done if they were locally tailored, because you could find out information KPFA-specific or PFW-specific by sending it with a questionnaire or a survey.
I'm not so happy. I'm sorry, Carolyn Burden again. I'm not so happy with people going over the list manually, however. It's not only time-consuming, it sort of violates privacy to some extent.
Well, I agree, but at that point we were pretty desperate.
At KPFA,
so what was necessary?
Ray Whitfield from PFW, I have one last question. And it, you just said the issue of privacy with people going over it. And I'm really shocked that anyone who's running for election is entitled to the membership list.
Oh. They don't get the list, Ray. They don't get a physical copy of it, but they can have it sent to a mailing house. They never get to see it.
They never get the list.
No.
Okay. And once, again, well, once the list is sent to the mailing house, can they use it for any purpose they want?
No. One use only.
Okay. All right.
Actually, one use each time, so that if you have, you know, a few thousands to spend, you can mail out something every week.
You could if you could afford it, yep.
now.
This is Carol. If I could go to the issue of cleaning up the list and manually. At KPFA, we did two elections before, just they weren't under the bylaws, we just did them in 2000 and 2001. And we had a local election supervisor who did clean up the list and checked for duplicates and did a lot of work on it. But it was very carefully controlled. It wasn't a committee of the lab or it was people who had confidential access, if you know what I mean.
Ours was very well controlled, too. I mean, Robin Lewis was the chairman of our elections committee, and she and the membership person at the radio station at that time, as well as one other highly trusted volunteer and unbiased person were the ones that were doing this work. So it wasn't a matter of violating privacy. We had to look at it very carefully, and we were very careful because we did not want to be called on the carpet later.
Right.
That's a delicate issue.
Yeah, this is Serene. I just want to say that as a matter of course, anyone who is working with membership information should be asked to sign an agreement of confidentiality, and no one should really have access to this on a casual basis, regardless of what their position may be.
I agree with you.
I agree with that.
They're not an employee, since that already comes with that requirement, but certainly anyone else.
I completely agree.
Yes, that's good.
And I would really like that to be under the supervision and in the contract of the elected supervisors.
That makes sense. This is Michael from Berkeley. A couple quick things. One person who is now on the national board actually got ballots for her pet ferrets. which she didn't use, but she actually warned people in advance that she was going to try to do this, and they still didn't catch it, so that's not a very good sign. The other thing is, I think somebody mentioned the database issue. Les Radke spoke about this.
Who is Les?
The election supervisor here at KPFA, and he indicated that this database was not good from the point of view of making sure that people couldn't tamper with it because there was not really an adequate trail left. There was no real record left of who had changed it.
Yes, that's true. It has no what's called no audit trail.
Actually, there is, depending on what system you're using, it's possible someone may not have known how to set it up, but that's a different matter.
Who is that?
This is Serene.
Does MemSys have an audit trail, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, it may have it. Evidently, the software in use didn't, because it can't be followed up. A lot of trailing cannot be done, tracking cannot be done, so it's very hard to find out if it's been hacked.
Well, I do know that one of the problems that the election supervisors were very concerned about beginning in October last year was that they wanted to be able to get in to the membership list and start looking for duplicates and doing that work. And there was a long delay, and apparently, you know, it never really did even happen. So that's something that I think we need to look at in our report.
Yes, absolutely. That was a very serious problem.
Okay.
They did
and
not
this,
get the list on
time.
This is
Ray Whitfield again. A question was asked to me today. Would LSB members, or what would be LSB members' involvement on the local election committee? Or could they be involved or be on a local election committee?
Well, if you look at the bylaws, Ray, the local election supervisors are to create a committee of their own under their own auspices.
Right.
It doesn't report to the LSB, that reports to them. And
no, but what I'm saying, can an LSB member be part of the election committee in the event that he asks the election supervisor, hey, I'd like to be on your committee.
If the election supervisor is
that I'd like to see us do this year is to have some sort of uniformity. There are many things in the bylaws which are far from perfect, which are way too loose, which allow for way too much interpretation. And certainly in this case, the interpretation in different areas was so disparate as, you know, prejudice, if I could use that word, certain candidates. So we really have to, and I'm going to send our list to the listserv of issues that we discuss and issues to be discussed and ask that you examine it locally and really urge that we have some national standard about the process used, because there were cases where penalties, almost draconian penalties, were administered for similar situations, occurring in different areas. So we really have to address that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. To get back to Ray's question, it's up to the election supervisor, and the election supervisor has to be convinced that the person is neutral.
Yes,
in order
that's
to
a good
put
point.
Them on the committee mm-hmm. that reports to the election supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Right, and since the election supervisor is supposedly themselves neutral and not part of the mix,
right.
You know, where they get their information about who's neutral and who's not, then it's a dicey subject.
Sure it is, but somehow you have to charge somebody with that duty.
Would it be much simpler or less difficult to restrict LSD members from being on the local election committee?
I think it depends on what the task is. I mean, tasks as simple and as apparently, or to me, as uncontroversial as helping identify locations for community meetings and debates in some areas are restricted to people who are not running.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it really is a matter of interpretation, and I really think we need to look at how wildly different the interpretation was in areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sandra from Houston. I'm going to have to go now, but thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Yes, it's time to close. It's 9:30.
Okay.
Yeah,
this
and
is Julie from
much.
LA. I'm also going to need to get going, but thank you all.
Thank you very
and
much.
And to you in
okay.
Houston.
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
And great, Darren. I'm signing off now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
I'm ready to sign off, too.
Carolyn, when you sign off, it closes the call.
Oh, okay. I'll
hang up.
Are we done?
Okay, this is Ray Whitfield saying bye.
And Melinda Houston. Bye-bye.
Good luck
right.
with the dentist.
All right. Well, it's 6:30, so we should go.
Okay, Carol. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.